Today's daf is Tmura Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to start at the top of the page. We're up to the quote from the Mishnah about a Vlad Trefa. Okay, Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah held that the offspring of a Trefa can't be used on the Mizbech. Lemanda Amar Trefa Yoledet. So now there's a debate about, we're going to explain about this Vlad Trefa that can't go on the Mizbech. So if you hold that a Trefa, there's a whole debate, it's an interesting debate, about whether a Trefa, remember what a Trefa is, an animal that, again, there's a whole debate in the Gemara about, so let's start from the beginning. There's a list of a large number of trefot that cause an animal to be a trefa. It's certain types of problems the animal has, health issues. Many people hold that a trefa is going to die within 12 months. Some people actually think that it could be a trefa and could potentially live longer than that. Now we're going to see that there's a further debate about whether a trefa is capable of giving birth. Or really what we're going to see it means is, could a trefa actually conceive or not? So now, if you hold that a trefa yelda, that a trefa can theoretically conceive, then what would be the case? How could you have a vlad trefa? So mishkacha la kigon shenitrefa ulevasof ibra. You would have a case where the case that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about, that a vlad trefa can't go on the mizbeach, would be a case where it was a trefa, then the trefa got pregnant, and then ubaha plige, and that's exactly what the machloket is. Rav Elezer savar zeveze gorem asur. Rav Elezer will hold that since the mother, when the animal was conceived, the mother was isur because it was trefa, the father was heter because he wasn't a trefa, and therefore it's a case of, we saw this yesterday, zeveze gorem. There's two things causing the creation of this offspring. One is heter, one is asur. And if you say zeveze gorem asur, then you're going to say this vlad is forbidden. And that's what Rav Elezer forbids it. Rabbanan savre zeveze gorem mutar. So that's one way of understanding the machloket. If you hold that a trefa could theoretically conceive, then we're talking about that the animal was a trefa, then conceived. And then the question is, zeveze gorem, is it asur or mutar? Lemanda amar trefa ein achaya, but if you hold that a trefa can't theoretically conceive, then what would be the case? Mishkacha la kegon sheibra ulevasof nitrefa. The case would be where she was pregnant and then became a trefa. Because once, if you hold that once she's a trefa, she can't actually conceive, then obviously that can't be the case. So now, if she was pregnant and then became a trefa, then what's the root of their machloket? Ubaha pliga. Plige. De Rabbi Elezer savar ubar yerech imohu. For Rabbanan savre ubar lav yerech imohu. And now we go back to a machloket we see many, many times. That is, the fetus considered a limb of the body of the mother or not? If you say it's a limb of the body and the mother became a trefa while she was pregnant, then the animal is considered part of the mother and it's going to be forbidden. But if you hold the animal's not part of the mother, then you're going to hold that it's not forbidden because the ubar is a separate entity. Just because the mother's a trefa doesn't make the ubar a trefa. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna come and say now, Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer be'efroch beitzat trefa sha'asur. In the case, remember, Rabbi Elezer is the one who holds that it can't go on the Mizbech. And Chachamim hold that it can. So now they're going to say, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Elezer in the case of an Ephrach, of a chick from an egg of an animal, of a bird that was a trefa, Shasur. In the case of an egg, the Ephrach that comes, the chick that comes from an egg, we're going to say that's going to be Asur to go on the Mizbech, even according to Chachamim. My time, what's the reason? Ag kan lo plige alei de Rabbi Eliezer ela bevlad behema de meavira karavia. When they have the argument, it's about a vlad behema. Why? We're going to see in a minute. I'm going to explain some different interpretations of this. I'll just explain it very literally right now. A vlad behema, the offspring from an animal, is meavira karavia. Okay, it comes, it grows, or it develops in its own space. Aval beitza trefa migufa de tarnagolta karavia. But the beitza of a trefa, okay, an egg of a trefa, comes from the body of the tarnagolet itself. Here we mean just from the bird itself or the hen. Okay, so now, And therefore, since it comes from the body of the Tarnagol, afilu Rabbanan modu. Even Rabbanan are going to agree, even though generally they say it can go on the Mizbeach when it comes to an animal, when it comes to a Tarnagol, it actually comes straight, grows right from the body of the hen. So there's a few different interpretations given. I'll summarize a few of them. Rashi gives two. He says that when the fetus is in the mother's body, it has its own space, as opposed to an egg, which is totally connected to the hen's body. And maybe you'd say this is a little difficult because even the fetus is connected to the animal's body, but he distinguishes between an egg, which is kind of mama, like connected wholly to the hen's body, as opposed to the fetus of an animal, which is not, because it's attached via the placenta. Other people say we're actually talking about when the fetus comes into the world, it continues to develop, whereas when an egg comes out of the body of the animal, it stays in that exact size. The egg never changes. The chick changes, but the egg doesn't. So from there, you could say that it shows that the egg is actually part of the hen's body, whereas the fetus is not considered part of the body. Okay, I'm sure there's other ways to understand this also. So again, where did we start with? We had a machloket whether the trefa could actually give birth or not. Depending on whether you say it could give birth or not would affect what the scenario is. Was the animal pregnant before it became a trefa, or was it only pregnant after it became a trefa? And therefore, what's the root of the machloket? Is it that ubar yerechimo or lav yerechimo, or is it zevzeh gorem is aser? By the way, I wanted to mention one other thing, which is you might say, why is there such a machloket about whether a trefa can actually give birth or not, or conceive or not? Why don't we just see what the reality is? So some people explain, if you say that a trefa can't conceive or can't bear offspring, then what would we say? Well, if you see a trefa that does, it must not be a trefa. Okay, and then they redefine the definition of a trefa based on what they see happening in actuality. And that's why looking at reality doesn't necessarily help, because it's just a matter of how you define the reality. Then you'll just say, oh, that's not a trefa. Okay, therefore you can't say that so simply. And then Rav Huna came and said that the machloket is obviously only, or according to him it's obvious, it's only about an animal, but when it comes to the beitza of a bird or a hen, then we're going to assume that everyone agrees, even Rabbanan, that you can't sacrifice the Vlad on the Mizbeach because it's considered 100% part of the mother's body. Amar le Rav le Rav Huna, Tane d'meseyalcha. So he says, here's a braita that supports what you said, Rav Huna. Milo tarvad rima haba me adam chai. If you have a spoonful, okay, that's a particular measurement, a melot tarvad. It's like a ladle full. This is an amount that carries tumah it's the measure of tumah for things that rot. When the body of the animal the body of a person rots, the amount that's going to be metame is a ladle full. Okay, that's the amount. Again, this is, you know, exactly how much is a ladleful. Okay, we're not going to get into that right now. But if you have a ladleful of rima haba me'adam chai, you have worms that come out of a living person who then died. Okay, so he was alive and then died right away. Rav Elezer mitame v'chachamim mitarim. So Rav Elezer says, this is tame, this is considered basically... The assumption is these worms are kind of like dust, and this is considered like dust that comes from a dead animal, dead person, and it's going to be metame, it's going to impurify things. The chachamim metaharim. Chachamim say this is actually pure. So now, what does this have to do with Rav Huna? Ad kan lo plige rabbanan ale ela berima depir shebaalmahu. What do you see here? Chachamim disagree with Rav Elezer, specifically in this case about the rima. So when it comes to these worms, we're going to say that's something that comes out of a secretion from the body. And therefore, Rabbanan disagree with the rabbis about it. Aval beitza de migufa de tarnigoletu afilu Rabbanan modu. But when it's actually something that's part of the body and not just something that a secretion for the body, but actually a part of the body, the egg that was created by the body, then the rabbis are going to agree that this is actually considered like the mother, and that's why they're going to forbid it on the Mizbeach. Whereas again, when it comes to the Rima, and what's the connection between these two machlokot? When we're talking about the Rima, these worms, we're not talking about, is it part of, right? Again, the issue is it considered impurity from a dead person or not? So if it's secreted, and yet we view it as separate, right? It's a secretion. So therefore, do we view it as part of the dead body? That's Rabbi Elazar versus Chachamim. We say, no, it's not part of the body. But when it comes to an egg, which actually was part of the body, then Chachamim would agree. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, what kind of proof is this? Adraba. It should be the opposite. Ibcha mistabra. Ad kan lo palig Rabbi Elazar alayel de rabbanan ela berima. De ikre adam mechayim rima. When Rabbi Elazar says he disagrees with Chachamim and say it's actually mitame, why does he say that? He says it only in the Rima case. Now we're going to go the opposite. It's kind of the same thing, but the opposite direction. We're going to say now that when it comes to Rima, since a person, when he's still alive, can be called Rima. How do we know that? Dechtiv, a pasuk from Iyov. Af ki enosh Rima uben adam tolea. Even though man is just worms and Ben Adam, and humans are Tolea, which is a maggot. Aval gabe beitza, eimat gadla. But when, in that case, what are we basically saying? The worms were part of the person even when he was still alive. So it's the opposite. There, Rabbi Elazar is going to be Matami. But when it comes to a beitza, you could say dafka the opposite. Eimat gadla, when did it grow and come out of when does the chick come out of the egg? When the egg rots, when the egg rots, it's just dust, and therefore no longer connected with the original bird. Therefore, afilu Rabbi Elazar moda, then Rabbi Elazar would even agree when it comes to the chick that the chick can be sacrificed because it comes from this egg, which becomes basically nothing. Whereas the Rima, the person, even when he was alive, was considered Rima. And that's the proof from the Pasuk in Iyov. And therefore, you could say that Dafka Relezer would say, it's Matame there, but when it comes to the bird, maybe he wouldn't even think so. So therefore, he disagrees with Rav Huna, who says that when it comes to the egg, it would even be, right, where he disagrees at least with Rav's proof from the Rima case, because he says that doesn't prove anything, because Rima, a person is called Rima when he's still alive. Ve'od, and furthermore, he says, Tanya Behedya, it says explicitly, Modera Belezer lechachamim be'efroch beitzat trefa shemutar. It says actually in a braita the exact opposite of what Rav Huna says. That Rav Elazar agrees with Chachamim. He said Chachamim agrees with Rav Elazar, that it's going to be a problem. And here it says in the braita, Rav Elazar agrees with Chachamim, that with a chick from an egg, there was a trefa. The egg of a hen that was a trefa is going to be permitted. By the way, I forgot to tell you this, but it can't be that we're talking about a hen, because no sacrifices are brought from a chick that comes from a hen. It would have to be that we're talking about a dove or a pigeon that were used for sacrifices. So what does Rava say now? Amarlei, itanya, tanya. If you have a braita that says that, then you must be right, and I can't argue with you. Okay, so basically he concedes that he was wrong. He obviously didn't know about the existence of that braita. Once he hears about the braita, he says, I guess you're right. Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginu Somer. Now we're going back to the Mishnah about a vlad of a trefa. Okay, the animal that comes from a trefa, we said, according to Rabbi Elazar, can't go on the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginu says, Kshira, my time. What's the reason? Ilema dimifat mamina. If you're going to say why, because the animal was fattened from the trefa, and therefore, this is a different case. This isn't what we just talked about. This case in the Mishnah is talking about an animal that's it's a kosher animal that nursed from a trefa. So if the kosher animal nursed from a trefa, it can't be used on the Mizbeach. So now they say, what's the reason? Ilema de mefat mamina, if it's because it got fattened up from the treifa animal. Elamayata hechila karshine avodah zarah hachinami da asira. So then you're saying if the owner of an animal fed it vetch from idolatry, that was used for idolatry, then are we going to say that that's usur? Right? Because if anything gets fattened up by something that can't be eaten, then we're going to say it's forbidden. Nobody says that. Ella Tani Rabbi Chia Trita'a, Rabbi Chanina Trita'a, Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina Trita'a said in front of Rabbi Yochanan, what's the case? Why is an animal who nursed from a treifa going to be not permitted on the Mizbeach? So he says, Kigon Shehenika Chalav Roteach Mishacharit L'Shacharit, it's a case where the animal nursed warm milk every single day. The assumption is that since it ate every single day this food, it nursed from this treifa animal, therefore we assume that its sustenance basically depended on it. It's not just like you ate one time food that was usur food, and now if we go back to the karshinei avodah zarah, you use vetches that were used for idol worship and you ate that every single day and that was your main staple food, even if you ate other food, but if every single day you ate that, that makes it your staple food, then it's forbidden. And that's how he explains the case in the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginus. Now going to the last part of the Mishnah. Kol ha-kodeshim she'nasu t'chefa ein podin otan. Okay, I'm just reading the rest of it. She'ein podin et ha-kodeshim l'hachilan l'klavim. Okay, if kodshim became treifa, they can't be redeemed because you can only redeem kodshim, we saw this in the past, in order to, you can't redeem food to feed your dogs, kodshim. You can only redeem kodshim in order to eat yourself, but not to feed to dogs. And since you can't eat treifa, then you can't redeem them. So now the Gemara says, where do we learn this from? Minani mile. Detanu rabanan. So now we go to this psukim that we've darshan many times. It's very perek yud bet pasuk tefav. Rak bechol avat nafshecha tizbach va'achalta basar. Okay, only when you want to eat meat, not from the mizbeach, right? Not things that are sacrificed in the Beit HaMikdash. So tizbach, you can slaughter va'achalta basar ki berchat Hashem Elokecha sher natan lach. Okay, you can eat it like the blessing of God that He gave you. B'chol sharecha, etc. The rabbis understood, we've seen this in the past, that these psukim were referring to psulei hamukdashim, things that were sanctified that are no longer valid for the mizbeach. Once you say that, then we can darshan this to our case, because here we have a case, you want to redeem something, why would you redeem? You redeem it if it's no longer valid to go on the mizbeach. So what do they say here? Tizbach, what does it mean, tizbach? You can slaughter it. What's it telling you? You can slaughter it, v'lo giza, but you can't shear it. As we learned already, that if you have an animal that was hekdesh, and then you redeemed it because it got a blemish, you're not allowed to shear the animal or work the animal. V'achalta, notice the pasuk says, tizbach, you can slaughter, v'achalta, basar, you can eat the meat. So what do you see from here? This is our case. V'achalta v'lo l'klavecha, you can only redeem it in order to eat, but not to give to your dog. Basar, v'lo chalav, okay, you can eat, it says you can eat the meat. What do you learn from there? You can't eat chalav, milk that comes out of that animal. Mikan she'ein podim et hakodashim l'achilan l'klavim. From here you learn, again back to the v'yachata v'lo l'klavecha, that you can't feed it to your dogs. So you can only redeem things if you can actually eat them. Ika de'amre, there's a different version of this drasha, of this verse, which actually comes to a different conclusion. Tizbach v'achalta, what do we learn from that? Not that you have to eat it and not for your dogs, but ein lecha bahen heter ela mishatz v'chava elach. You can only use them once they have, once they've been slaughtered. Kasavar, and according to this, okay, so that's telling you, until they're slaughtered, you can't do anything with it. Okay, you can't, this would include, you can't shear them, you can't use their milk, because the animal's still alive. Only once you slaughter it are you allowed to do anything with it. So now, but this seems to imply, once it's slaughtered, you can even feed it to your dogs. And therefore the Gemara says, Kasavar, the person of this version of it, thinks opposite of what we just said a minute ago, Podina takodeshim lachilan leklavim, that you could redeem kodeshim in order to feed them to your dog. Hadron alach kol asurin, and we're moving on to the next parak. Starting now the seventh parak. We're now going to compare kodeshim mizbeach to kodeshim bet hakabayit. We've seen some of this stuff before. Yesh bekodeshim mizbeach she'en bekodeshim bet hakabayit. Yesh bekodeshim bet hakabayit she'en bekodeshim mizbeach. We've talked about these categories many times. We have items that are sanctified for the altar, meaning animals that are going to be sacrificed. And then we have items that go for upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. I say I'm dedicating something I own to the Beit HaMikdash. That generally means I'm giving it to upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. Often I'll redeem it. I'll give the value of it to the Beit HaMikdash. I didn't necessarily mean that item. Sometimes I could mean that item. I could give gold or silver to the Beit HaMikdash and they can use it for things that they need. For the temple upkeep. So there's certain things that are relevant for Kodesh Mizbeach and not for Kodesh Bet HaKabayit, and there's certain things that are the reverse. We also say that Kodesh Mizbeach have Kedushat HaGuf, inherent sanctity, and Kodesh Bet HaKabayit only have their value is sanctified. But they themselves are not actually sanctified, just that the value of that item needs to go to the Beit HaMikdash. So let's go through the list. Shekodshei Mizbeach Osim Tmura, substitution is only relevant for animals that are going to be sacrificed on the altar. V'chayavin ala mishum pigol notar v'tame. And the following prohibitions apply to these animals that are going to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. There's pigol if you have the wrong intent, notar if you leave it over past the time, and if you use them, you bring them to the Beit HaMikdash when they are impure. Or if you eat them, right? Generally, the isur of all these three things is if you eat it beyond the time, you eat it if it's tame, you eat it if it had the wrong machshava, the wrong intent. Vladan v'chalavan asur la'achar pidyonan. Even after you redeem it, let's say you have something that was sanctified for the mizbeach, and right, it gets a mum, and then it gets blemished, and then you redeem it. Still, you can't use its offspring on the can't be sacrificed, and this offspring actually is in a bit of a problematic situation. Really, it's what we call ein lo takana. What's the issue? Since it was in the womb when the mother was sanctified, therefore it has kedusha to it, and therefore it's forbidden b'hana'ah. You can't benefit from it. On the other hand, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach because it comes from an animal that was rejected from going on the Mizbeach because the mother had a blemish. So therefore, the Vlad is forbidden b'hana'ah. You can't benefit from it, and also you can't sacrifice it. And likewise, the Chalav, anything that comes out of it, that's what we saw in the Pasuk just before, where we darshan, that the Chalav, right, the Basar is allowed, but not the Chalav, not anything coming from these items. Vashochtam b'chutz chayav. If you slaughter these outside the Beit HaMikdash, you're chayav. This is talking about, now we're back to, a minute ago we were talking about after they're redeemed, meaning they have a blemish. Here we're talking about the animal when it's in perfectly good shape. If you shecht it outside the Beit HaMikdash, you're obligated, you get karet for it. Ein notznim mehem le'umanim b'scharan. And if you want to pay someone who worked for the temple, you can't pay them from animals that were dedicated for the altar. All those things, Masha Ein came because she Bet HaKabayit, are all not relevant when it comes to Bet HaKabayit. Okay, so again, let's look through the list. There's no tmura for Bet HaKabayit. There's no such thing as substitution. It's not relevant. There's no pigul notar and tame. There's no time frame associated with items that you sanctify. If they become tame and you eat them, there's nothing wrong with that. Their vladot and the chalav that comes out of them is permitted once you redeem it. There's no kedusha on it anymore. And if you slaughter it outside, there's nothing wrong with that because it wasn't supposed to be slaughtered inside the temple. And you can actually pay workers in the mikdash with Bet HaKabayit money. Yesh b'kodshe Bet HaKabayit. Here's some things that are true about kodshe Bet HaKabayit that are not true about kodshe Mizbeach. If I say something is hektesh, we assume it means it's going lebet kabayit. We're going to see more in the Gemara about this. Hektesh bet kabayit chal al hakol. It applies to anything, whereas Hekdesh Mizbeach only applies to animals that can actually be brought on the altar. Umo'alim begidulehem, if you use things that grow out of it, okay, even by accident, okay, generally me'ila is something you do accidentally, you used it, you benefited from it personally, from something that came out of something that was sanctified for Bedek HaBayit. We'll get into more details again in the Gemara. Ve'em bahem hana'a l'kohanim. Okay, there's no benefit to the kohanim. Don't get to benefit from these items. It says l'ba'alim, but the other nuscha'ot say it should be l'kohanim. There's no benefit to the kohanim. And as when it comes to Kodesh HaMizbeach, the kohanim get the hide, depending on which sacrifices, they get the meat sometimes. But the kohanim can't benefit from anything that was sanctified for use in the, of the temple maintenance, because that was for the temple and not for the kohanim. So now the Gemara starts off and says, okay, back to the first thing, the Kodesh HaMizbeach can do effect murah. You can do substitution. Again, it's forbidden, but if you do it, it's effective. Uklala, who is that really true? Dekol Kodesh HaMizbeach osim tmurah. It sounds like, according to the Mishnah, any Kodesh HaMizbeach can affect tmurah. But there are exceptions to the rule. Harei ofot dekodesh HaMizbeach, birds can be used, can be dedicated to the altar, and yet we learned that there's no law of tmurah by birds. Utnan haminachot v'alfot ein osim tmurah. Tmurah is not effective by birds. So what are the answer? We've seen this before. Ki katania behema. They were referring only to animals here. And therefore, all animals that are Kodesh HaMizbeach do tmura. You can do tmura to them. Again, you can't do tmura, but if you did, it's effective. Vahare vlad, Kodesh HaMizbeachu. But what about, here we have another question. Isn't a vlad, the offspring, considered Kodesh HaMizbeach? Utnan ein havlad oset tmura. And we learned that vladot, the offspring, can't affect Mura. So the answer, what do you mean? Very simply, we'll answer like this. Hamani Rav Yehudahi. This matches the Mishnah, where it said anything that's Kodesh HaMizbeach, which would include a Vlad, can affect Mura, must be according to Rav Yehudahi, Tamar Vlad Oset Mura. Because Rav Yehuda says the Vlad can do Tmura. There's machloket about it. Third question, v'hare t'mura atzma dekodesh HaMizbeach. The t'mura itself, if I do a substitution to a korban, then that substitution is kodesh, it's kadosh kedushat haguf, kodesh HaMizbeach, and yet, what do we learn? Utnan, ein t'mura oset t'mura. So here we finally have a case, which really is a good question, which is, here we have a case of something that's kedushat HaMizbeach, and it doesn't affect t'mura. So what are the answer? Ki katane a'ikar zivcha. They were talking only about the main korban itself and not the something that comes off of it, meaning not a substitution. So now they say, oh, well, now we can answer the second question with this answer too. Hasha da'ati lahachi, since we already got to here, afilu temer rabbanan ki katane a'ikar zivcha. You could also say, it's according to Rabbanan, as a minute ago we said it must be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion only, who says that a vlad is oset mura. And they say, no, you could say, it's also, you could also hold, like Rabbanan, that the vlad doesn't affect mura. And it wouldn't be a contradiction, because we're not talking about a vlad, it's just an offspring of the main korban itself. This mission is only referring to main korbanot, main things that are kedushat haguf, and not things that come off of them, like substitutions and offspring. We can't pay workers with kedushat mizbeach. Ha kodesh bedek habayit notznim, but you can. It sounds like you can use them for better. You can use bedek habayit money to pay omanim. So Amar Rabbi Avahu, Damar Kra. How do we know this? Vasuli. It says vasuli mikdash. Make it for me. What do they learn from li? Mishali. From mine. In other words, God says, make me a mikdash using my money, meaning money that belongs to me, can be used to pay the workers to build the Beit HaMikdash. Yesh b'kodesh HaBedek HaBayit. So now we're going to go through the list here. So Amar, stam hekdeshot l'Bedek HaBayit v'chal al hakol. Okay, somebody says something's hekdesh, it's Bedek HaBayit, and it can apply to anything. So man tana, who's the tana who says this? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, dilo k'Rabbi Yoshua. It's interesting that they're saying it's not like Rabbi Yoshua. You could have said it's like the Tanakhama here, who's actually Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but instead they say, oh, it's not like Rabbi Yeshua, instead of saying it is like Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the opinion here? We saw this also a few tapim ago. Titznan says from a Mishnah in Shkalim, HaMakdish nechasa v'haya behem behema ru'uya l'gabe mizbech. If you say, all my property, my possessions are hekdish, and among them were animals that were could have gone in the mizbech. So now again, what happened? What did we say a minute ago? If you say stam hekdesh, this would be a good case of stam hekdesh. Where does it go? It goes to Bet HaKabayim. Now here's the following opinion. We're going to see, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so if you had animals within your, all your possessions, male and female, Rabbi Eliezer omers charim yimachru letzorchei olot, unikevot yimachru letzorchei shlamim. Males are sold for the purposes of korbanot olah. Okay, we always want to, if something's stam, we're going to assume it's going to a korban olah. But here we're going to assume it's only bet kabayit, because we're going to say the males will be sold for the purposes of korbanot olah, for burnt offerings. Unikevot, which can't be used for burnt offerings, yimachru letzorchei shlamim. They're sold, and the money used is used to buy shlamim. Udemeim yipulim shar nechasim lebet kabayit. And the value of these, of whatever's left, let me clarify that again. The males, you have to sell it to people who want to buy korbanot olah, and the females, you have to sell to people who want to buy shlamim. And the money you buy from, that you got from the sale of those things, goes to Bet HaKabayit. So what do you see from here? This actually matches what we said in the Mishnah, that Stam Hekdesh goes to Bet HaKabayit, because what you're really doing is, you're selling these animals, and the value of them is going to the Bet HaKabayit. It's just that since you said that you're sanctifying them, so everything has to actually be sacrificed for Olot and for Shlamim, and that's why you have to sell them to people who want to buy those korbanot. But you actually don't have to give them as a korban. You just have to make sure that they go for a korban, but you can take the money, right? You sell it. With that money, you actually just give it to Bet HaKabayit. But Rabbi Yeshua omers, Charim hein atzmam yikrivu olot. This charim actually gets sacrificed as olot, because he thinks stam hekdesh doesn't go to Bet HaKabayit. In this case, if they're animals, they're going to go straight to be sacrificed. However, the nikevot, there, since you'd rather, always better to put something as the burnt offering, because that's the thing that gets totally sacrificed to God. Therefore, in the nikevot, can't be used for olot. So what do you do with them? Nikevot yimachru letzorchei shlamim. You sell it to someone who wants to bring a korban shlamim with it. But since you sanctified it, and it's kedushat mizbeach, what do you have to do? Yavi b'demehem olot. You have to take the money and buy korbanot olah with them. We'd rather things always, the default is it goes to an olah, and therefore you sell it and use with the money to buy a korban olah. Ushar nechasim and everything else, and it's all the money, everything else that, that's what happened, you sanctified everything in your house. So the animals have to get sacrificed in some way or other, and the rest of your possessions go to Bet HaKabayit. So you see that our Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Yeshua, because he thinks the stam animals go for the Mizbeach. Upliga derav Ada bar Ahava. And now we're going to have a difference of opinion. Okay, this was all, let me just clarify. We started with who's the Tana of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it's not like Rabbi Yehoshua. But this disagrees with Rav Ada bar Ahava. Tam Rav Ada bar Ahava Amarav, Be'eder shekulos charim afilu Rabbi Eliezer modeh. Delo shavik inish kodshe mizbeach u'maktish lebet HaKabayit. He understands machloka Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua differently. He says, if you had all charim, all males, then Rabbi Eliezer would agree with Rabbi Yeshua that they actually all get sacrificed. In which case, what do we see here? Stam would go le kodshe mizbeach and not lebet HaKabayit. Why? Because no person would leave Kodshe Mizbeach, and if you have something that could actually be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, you obviously mean that for the Mizbeach. Nobody would mean to actually bring it Lebet HaKabayit, because that's a less significant hekdesh. Lo nechleku, what was their machloket? Ela be'eder sheyesh bo mechza zacharim u'mechza nekevot. So if you had half-half, then it would go to, you know, then you would have this machloka between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer savar ein cholek et nidro. Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that we're going to assume it goes to Bedek HaBayit is because no, he assumes that a person wouldn't do a neder that would split in half. And since the females, umidine kevot, lav olot, can't be sacrificed as burnt offerings, then scharim nami lav olot. Then the males also can't be sacrificed as burnt offerings. And that's why we sell everything and, you know, eventually take all the money and put it to Bedek HaBayit. Rabbi Yeshua Savar choleket nidro. No, somebody would split his neder, and therefore, what can be sacrificed as an ola gets sacrificed as an ola. Whatever can't be gets sold, and you buy with the money korbanot ola. Okay. According to this explanation, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that makdish stam goes to the mizbeach. Okay, and therefore, the Mishnah doesn't match either of these two opinions. Lishna Achrina, there's a different version now of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Am Rav Ada Bar Ava Am Rav B'shelo Ikdish Ela Behema Afilu Rabbi Lezer Modeh. If there were only, okay, now there's a debate. Remember it said that a person's makdish his possessions. Now your possessions could be only animals or it could be other things. So when it's only animals, then Rabbi Lezer would agree D'lo Shavik Inish Kotche Mizbeach U'makdish Lebedek HaBayit. Then Rabbi Lezer would agree with Rabbi Yeshua that it must be going to the Mizbeach. The machlok it's only about when you have a mix of animals and other possessions. But then Rabbi Lezer Savar en adam choleket nidro. And here the choleket nidro is not between male and female, it's between animals and non-animal possessions. So if you say en adam choleket nidro, midishar nechassim lo lekot shemizbeach, behema nami lo lekot shemizbeach. And since the rest of your possessions aren't going for kodesh mizbeach, because they're regular possessions and not animals, therefore your animals also don't go to kodesh mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua savar adam choleket nidro. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it could be the animals go and treat it as animals, as kodesh mizbeach, and the others are not. And then, according to this, we still have the basic assumption that a person would, if he has the option to do Kodesh Mizbeach, the default is it does go to Kodesh Mizbeach, meaning the default, right, and this again goes against our Mishnah, who says the default is for everything is Kodesh Mizbeach. Tana, now we're going to have a question on this. Udmein yiplu im shar nechassim lebedek habayit. So bishlama lelishna batra. So now this makes sense. If you say, that means, right, the value of this goes with, once you sold those animals, is going to go together with everything else to Bedek HaBayit. So that makes sense according to the last understanding, which is the machloket was, if you're mixing animals and other items. And that's why it says, Hainu dekatane im shar nechassim lebedek HaBayit. Ela lishnekama, but according to the first reading of Rav Ada Bar Ava, then litni yiplu lebedek HaBayit. It should have said, and then the money goes to Bedek HaBayit, not with shar nechassim, because the issue was that you're mixing males and females, and not that you're mixing animals and other things. So the Gemara simply answers, tenei hachi. You should change the nusach, and it should say udemeim yiplu lebedek HaBayit. The Braita should read that demeim yiplu lebedek HaBayit, and not with shar nechassim. Hekdesh Bedek HaBayit Chala Lakol. Now we're going to talk about the concept that Hekdesh for Bedek HaBayit applies to everything. Latuye Mai, what's that coming to include? It must be coming to include something additional. Amaravina Latuye Shipoy Veniva. It's coming to include chips of wood or of trees and leaves that are falling off of the tree, that if you say the tree is Bedek HaBayit, then anything that falls off of it is included, is going to have sanctity to it. Whereas if you say I'm using the trees for the burning on the altar, then it's only going to be the tree bark itself and not leaves and other things that fall off of it. Umo'alim b'gidulehem, when it comes to Kodesh Bedek HaBayit, we're going to say that there's me'ila also in outgrowths of it. La tuye mai, what is this coming to include? La amar of papa, la tuye chalav abukdashim ubeitzei torin. It's to include milk that comes from sanctified animals and eggs that come from sanctified birds. Kidetnan, as it says in the Mishnah Mi'ila, chalev hamukdashim ubeitzei torin lo nehenim velo mo'alim. Okay, there's no me'ila. You can't benefit from it. But if you did, there's no din of me'ila. Okay, you're not chayev for an accidental misuse of consecrated property. What's this referring to according to the Mishnah? B'kodshei mizbeach. When it comes to kodshei mizbeach, so then the chalav and the beitzim, there's no din of me'ila. Aval b'kodshei berek habayit, higdish tarnegolet mo'alim b'beit sata. Chamorah mo'alim b'chalava. Okay, but for berek habayit, if you're makdish a tarnegolet and a chamor, okay, these are the items that can't be sanctified in the mizbeach, which means you're only sanctifying them for the purposes of the berek habayit, then there is me'ila in items that grow from it, which would be eggs or milk. Afilu l'manda amar mo'alim b'gidulei mizbeach, and even according to the one who says there is me'ila in gidulei mizbeach, apparently it's a source of machloket, it's only things that can themselves be put on the mizbeach. Like the milk and the eggs, which you can't burn on the mizbeach, ein mo'alim b'hem. Everybody agrees that there's no law of me'ila. Okay? The classic example of a gidul mizbeach that would be, you would have a din of me'ila, would be in, for example, the offspring. There, that would be ra'oi for the mizbeach, right? It's worthy of going on the mizbeach, and therefore there would be din of me'ila if you hold mo'alim b'gidulei mizbeach. Okay, but it wouldn't include milk and eggs that can't be sacrificed on the mizbeach.